What's happening, Andy? How are you?
Not much. I'm doing good. I was a little disappointed in the forecast you just gave, though. I'm going to a baseball game here in a little bit, so hopefully it stays away.
It's very scattered in nature, so you might be okay right now. What time does the game start?
It's 6. It's the post-6 game.
So you're going to post-6 in Casper tonight. Okay. I think I've seen you out. Have you been to a few post-6 games?
Maybe I got my information wrong. My wife told me it was here.
Yeah, it's here, but it's post-6 against Casper, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I've been doing a bunch. My wife's little brother is RJ Prince.
What's that? You broke up a little bit there.
My wife's little brother is RJ Prince.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, you were in a panic there. You thought you were late getting on the road, didn't you?
Yeah, he said Casper, and I thought, oh, man, we're going to be late.
No, that's just who they're playing is Casper.
This is getting to be ridiculous. We're having a Bailey a week on the show now. Maybe we could just set aside a 15-minute segment once a day like they do with Tuesdays with Tracy on the network down in Denver.
We're taking over the airwaves. We're gonna take over your whole station, Dave.
Well, now I asked you this before. You graduated from East High School there, Andy, but Jeff is going over to South. You got the gold and black ready to go now?
I don't think it's going to be hard at all for me to don gold and black. I told Jeff right when he told me that I haven't done it yet, so I haven't lived up to my word, but I said I was going to head straight to Walmart and buy some South stuff. So I am fully on board the South bandwagon now.
Very good. Andy, last night.
Okay, before we get in there, last night was really the first competitive, compelling conference finals game we've gotten. Why do you think it's been so one-sided? Yeah, these series are tied at 2, but outside of last night, the games have just been so one-sided. Why do you think that is?
So I've actually been wondering about this for 2 or 3 years now, because it feels like it started before this season even, where we would get these huge games and then just kind of be let down by the fact that they were blowouts, like you just laid out. And I don't really have any data to back this up, but the only explanation I can really come up with for now is there's just the fact that they take so many more three-pointers now. I feel like maybe one team gets on a run, gets a 20 to 25 point lead, and it just sort of emotionally knocks the other side out. And that's really the best explanation I can offer right now. There's just so much variance with how many threes that both sides shoot that you can just kind of put a game to bed early. And like you said, thank goodness we finally had one that wasn't that way last night. You know, you would think, too, with how many threes are shot, that it would make it that much easier to get into a game after you're down big. But the only explanation I have is maybe it's a psychological block once a team looks up at the scoreboard and sees that they're down like 20 to 25 and they just...
Yeah. Andy Bailey joining us. Lots been made about Kevin Durant passing up on the final shot there at the end of the game. Are you on that bandwagon, or do you think he made the right play with the clock winding down?
I think they had time to do something even after Klay Thompson got the ball. It felt to me like, and maybe I need to go back and watch it, but he just kind of stood there for a second or two, and then he dribbled into traffic for another second, and then hoisted up this contested, 17, 18, terrible shot, terrible last possession. There's something amiss with the Warriors in terms of the ball movement. It felt like, you know, a couple years ago when they really burst onto the scene, or maybe 3 years ago now, when they had their first 60-plus win season, it was all about just constant ball movement. And I don't want to put it solely on Kevin Durant, and the numbers don't totally back me up on this, but it felt like when he got there, they started isolating more. The ball movement reduced just a little bit. And I feel like that happened a bunch in the second half last night. And, you know, a possession like that final one that you just talked about, you know, 4 or 5 seconds left on the clock. In the past, I would think they could get, you know, 2 or 3 quick passes and a really wide open shot out of that. Instead, it just evolved into nothing very, very quickly. So, to me, they need to get back to the identity that made them so good in the first place, which was constant ball movement, constant player movement, and they're basically unguardable when they have that going.
Do you see this series? I mean, obviously, it's going to go at least 6 games now. I mean, but do you have the feeling that we've got a back and forth series that'll go 7 games the way this thing is being played out?
I definitely think it could. My default on this question all season has been, if the Rockets won, I would not be shocked, but I would still pick the Warriors. And I still kind of feel that way. I actually didn't expect the Rockets to win last night, so maybe it's a little closer in my mind than even I had it before last night's game. I wouldn't be surprised if it went seven at this point. They have the Warriors figured out in a couple ways, I think. The fact that they're able to switch everything is something that the Warriors don't face with many teams. And then they have two guys that can just go and score on pretty much any given possession, and Harden and Chris Paul. They're maybe the two best ISO guys in the game right now. I think Harden objectively is the best. It's not the most fun or entertaining thing to watch, but he's certainly efficient with it. So they've got a couple sort of tricks up their sleeve that the Warriors haven't figured out counters for yet. And so I wouldn't be surprised if it went seven. Again, I think the safe pick is still obviously the Warriors. Like you said, finally have a little bit of competition in these conference finals.
Andy, last Friday, Dave and I were talking as I believe they were heading into game three of the Eastern Conference Finals, that the Cavs needed to play Larry Nance more because, at least he'll give you some sort of defensive presence out there. And lo and behold, he played nearly half the game and had, 10 points and a few rebounds and stuff like that, and they won. He only played 10 minutes in game four, but he produced, and I don't know if that was just late or whatever. But my feeling is, if you want to try and get some guys out there to defend, why not put your best defender out there?
Yeah, I think he is their best defender. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out why he ever fell out of their rotation. I actually posed that question just generally to Twitter the other day, and some people told me he was dealing with an injury that I don't ever remember hearing about. I feel like I would have seen that. But I agree with you. I think he's their best defender. Not only can he, fill up the paint a little bit on defense, he can actually switch and guard guys on the perimeter, which is extremely important for big guys to do nowadays. And I think you mentioned his hustle, too. When he's out there, offense or defense, he's the guy that does all those cliche little things that don't show up in the stat sheet. Like, he'll blow up a ball screen. He'll dive on the floor for a loose ball. I think he's objectively like their main hustle guy now. Tristan Thompson used to be that, but I just don't see an argument for playing him over Nance at this point. And when Nance first came over to Cleveland after that trade, there seemed to be some really good, quick chemistry between him and LeBron. So if it was me, it would be Kevin Love and Larry Nance in the front court as much as possible. I think that's the most natural fit. And again, I don't really get why he fell out of the rotation. Maybe just Tyronn Lue spent more time with Tristan Thompson, and so maybe he trusts him more. But I think, objectively speaking, Larry Nance is the guy that you want out there on the floor.
I mean, your thoughts on the way this series has gone, where the home team has been very dominant. Do you feel like that continues tonight as the series shifts to Boston? And with them having the home court, do you think that Boston is definitely has an edge right now, or is Cleveland riding some momentum?
I would go with the last one there. I feel like Cleveland has kind of seized momentum in this series. The last two games were a lot closer to how I thought this series would look than the first two. But I've said this a bunch, but I've been wrong about Boston so many times. When Gordon Hayward got hurt, I thought they'd be around a .500 team, and they just destroyed that expectation. I picked the Bucks in the first round. I picked the Sixers in the next round. And then I picked Cleveland in six, so I'm kind of on track there for this one. But I didn't expect Boston to win the first two so comfortably. So it would not surprise me if they came out and took the lead back in this one. But I think ultimately, even if they do win tonight, I would be kind of surprised if they lost the series. I feel like Cleveland's going to get one on the road at some point, whether it's tonight or game seven.
Outstanding as always, Andy Bailey covers the NBA for Bleacher Report.
Better go on the road to Casper.
I'll hit about 150 the whole way there. Don't tell the cops.
Yeah, well, we'll.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about it is you got enough lawyers in the family to defend you in court, you know.
Yeah, I'll come up with some sort of defense.
Very good. Hey, Andy, enjoy the game tonight, and maybe see you out there, and we'll talk soon. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, guys.
There you go, Andy Bailey.